Hi, everybody. I'm Lisa, and I'm an addict. My home group is the 1-6 group in South Potomac, and I'm really nervous. This is my first time ever speaking at the convention, and I'm really nervous. But the only thing I have is my experience, strength, and hope. And I've asked God to speak through me. So whatever I forget or whatever I miss, or if I don't hit what you need to hear, Chris got you. Okay. You know, when I think about why we're here, at my home group, when I close, I always say, let this circle represent what we can do together that we cannot do alone. And that is mostly for me, because I didn't want to be here, you know. And I know that I need you guys now. It took years for me to realize that, but I know that I need you guys. I know that I can't stay clean by myself. You know, it's impossible for me to stay clean by myself. Of course, I tried it. You know, I did. It took me, I was first introduced to the program in 1990. And in October, I have 9 years. So, you know, that tells you that it took some time. It took some time for me because I did not want to be a keep coming back person. You know, and a dear friend of mine, he used to always say, where you going? Why you still going around them keep coming back people? You know how they say, keep coming back, you know? And they used to always tell me that in the beginning, in between all my relapses. Because when I first started getting clean in 1990, I started going to meetings and I never stopped. I always went to meetings, you know? So, you know, they say, keep coming back, but it's other stuff that I had to do to stay, you know? It's other things that I had to do to get that peace inside, to get that serenity. One of the main things was to get honest, you know, and I'll get to that. But for myself, like I said, I didn't want to be here. And they asked me to do this workshop. I think in a way I'm kind of perfect for it because I'm one of them ones, the literature talks about it, how we tried everything. I did, you know, going to the different doctors, going to the different psychiatrists, going to the different therapists, going to the expensive therapists, going to the therapists you go to when you don't have money, just going in and out of detox, treatment, everything, church, everything. I'm moving, you know, just moving all around. I'm one of those, someone told me years ago, Lisa, you really probably should have went to long-term treatment. But I moved around so much, you know, the geographic change, I was married for quite some years, and we used to move. You know, we was with the military, so we used to move, and I never would have my records hooked into the military system. So they couldn't, you know, the records wouldn't go. So I always worked. I worked all through my addiction, so that told me I wasn't that bad. I'm telling you, I wasn't that bad, you know, because I could keep a job, you know. So I always had my own insurance, so I could go to these different programs, and everywhere we went, I went in treatment, everywhere. Or towards the end, I actually started going in psych hospitals, psych wards, you know, and they tell me detox treatment, all of that is a part of, you know, all of that is the psych ward, really, you know. So I just tried and just kept trying. I never gave up because it was something inside of me that knew that I didn't want to do this. You know, I didn't want to keep smoking crack. You know, I didn't like the way it made me feel. I didn't like what it took away from me, but I couldn't stop because I was in so much pain and I couldn't get honest, you know. So that honesty was a real big piece for me because I grew up in a household where they said, whatever goes on in your household, stay here. You don't tell what goes on outside these doors. So I took that for years. But people around me, they kept, you know, they were getting clean. And I was saying I was clean, too. And I celebrated anniversaries, the degree of the sickness. I celebrated anniversaries, and they let me in. I'm for sure. Now when I look back on it and when I meet people and they be saying they're clean, and you know they're not. And, you know, it's like they knew, but they never, you know, they never say, you can't celebrate. I don't know if you should say, if you know somebody using, should we say you can't celebrate? I don't know. They let me celebrate anyway. And then that night I'll go home and get high or something or whatever, you know. But it was a number of things that told me I wasn't that bad when I got here. Like I said, I could keep a job. I always worked. I lived in Hawaii for four years, and that's when I really, really, I think I would say almost hit bottom or came close to it, really realized that I had a problem because I worked in a treatment center. I worked in a treatment center for youth, and I would go down to Waikiki and get my stuff, you know. And then on Saturdays, when we have family days, I would see some of the people coming in that I would meet, you know, when I was out there coping. And I would think, oh, my gosh, I hope they don't say anything. Oh, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's an awful way to live, that double life, you know. During the day, I was always this professional. But at night, I turned into something. I don't know. In the attic, I turned into something at night. You know, so it was just awful living that way. I didn't go in treatment when I lived in Hawaii because I worked in a treatment center. And I couldn't, you know, I just played the role, just dying in so much pain and just not being able to, not willing to get honest. I was going to meetings too. So for me, I know for me, just because you go to meetings don't mean, just because I go to meetings doesn't mean I'm going to stay clean. You know, they say keep coming back, but Lisa, it's other things you got to do when you keep coming back. You know, you have to, for me, I have to do step work. I have to be honest. I know that now. So I never stopped. We left Hawaii, moved down to Huntsville, Alabama, didn't know anybody. See, and an addict can find it wherever they go, you know. So my ex-husband called on base and said we had a child that ran away and he was doing drugs and we need to find him. So they told him what a drug. You know. So it started, the cycle started all over again. And so I you know, of course, I got right back into it real good again. And by this time, whenever I used, I got suicidal. So that's when I started going to the hospitals over, you know, psych wards. I didn't want to tell them I was an addict. I just always had a little small problem with cocaine, you know, just a little teeny problem with cocaine. People, if you knew, there's no such thing as a little small problem with cocaine, you know. It's no mistake that I ended up in N.A., you know. I just thought, you know, I could do N.A. and I could have my life at home and I'll be all right. You know, but my life at home was so dysfunctional, you know, the using, just the lies, the double life, just all of it, you know, and it was just crazy, you know. In between that time, going into the hospitals, getting the therapist, going to see the therapist, smoking crack on Friday. See, by this time, it was like I just smoked on the weekend, so I really wasn't that bad. You know, I just got high on Friday and Saturday, so I couldn't be that bad, you know. But still going to meetings, too. And when I went to the meetings, I identified out. She needs to be here, yeah. If I was doing that, I'd be here, too, you know. And I carried that for years in recovery. Even this time when I started getting clean, I still would think, yeah. Someone told me when I moved to South Potomac and I'll never forget this. And this lady, she told me she ran her car into someone else's car. She was clean. And I thought, if I was like that, I would be in N.A. too. You need more than N.A. for real. Of course, I ain't say it because I'm a chicken, you know. But I was thinking that, you crazy. You need to be here, you know. Kept going to the doctors. By this time, they going to give you the medicine, you know. I'm depressed. I need Zoloft. I need whatever. I need whatever. Prozac. I need something. But not N.A. Not N.A. Anything else, but not N.A. Give me anything but N.A. I'm not like them people, you know. And everything was them people, you know, not me. I noticed the people around me, even when we got to Alabama, it was a group of us, you know, we would have our little woman's thing and everybody was staying clean. Well, it was one other girl in there. She wasn't staying clean either. But she admitted she would use. I wouldn't admit. All the rest of them were staying clean, and I kept using. You know, I just kept using. They still loved me. I had a sponsor down there. It was like a Nazi sponsor in a way because she was, I mean, back then they were saying stuff like, if you want what I have, you do what I do. When you come to the meetings, if you had a step study group, bring your book, bring a highlighter, ask questions. You know, she was like that. of course, I ain't like her too much, you know. and I had to fire her. Isn't that the truth? We fire sponsors like we paying them money, you know. She wasn't spiritual, because she told me, if you keep, it was one girl in that community I lived in, it was all white people, all Caucasians, and I had one black girlfriend, that's it, you know. She couldn't stay clean. My sponsor told me, stop hanging around her. And what she said when I fired her was, if you hang with dogs, you're going to get fleas. And I thought that wasn't very spiritual. You know, how can you say something like that? And to this day, I still think that's not very spiritual. You know, because the person that's still using, they still need love. You know, because it was a few people that wouldn't let me go. They kept their hands on me. You know, they kept saying, keep coming back. I hated it, but, you know, they kept saying it. They would call every now and then. I mean, only one or two people, you know, because, I mean, they tell us, don't hang around slippery people, places, and things, you know. So somebody using, it's not suggested that you hang around them, you know. But my husband was using, and I could not hang around him. You know, he was the breadwinner, and I was into the stuff. You know, I wasn't about to let the stuff go at that time. You know, so, I continued on, and finally down there is when I really hit the bottom, where I really wanted to do something different. My story doesn't include the jails and all of that stuff. It wasn't that. It was an emotional bottom for me. I was sick of going in them hospitals where they told you can't put lipstick on, or you can't wear this, or you can't do that. Or when you take a shower, if you want to take care of your personal hygiene, I mean, like a woman shaving your legs and stuff like that, we have to watch you. I was like, you know, no, that's the kind of stuff that made me go, I can't do this no more. I've had enough. I really had enough. So I left that husband. I moved to South Potomac area. And at that time, I was willing to do whatever they said, because I really didn't want to use anymore. You know, so I turned into that. At that time, I turned into a keep coming back person, you know, because I kept coming back there. I started going to meetings. I did not put the job ahead of anything. When I worked in Alabama, I worked for the DA office. So in the daytime, I would go in these neighborhoods, you know, so funny. I would go in these neighborhoods where they were slinging dope, because I worked with women, you know, that had children who were sexually abused. So they were slinging dope, and at night I'm up out there, you know, I'm getting the stuff, and I'm doing. And then in the daytime, I'm coming around there telling them, you know, so how can I be an addict? How can I be a keep coming back person? You know, it doesn't make any difference. This disease doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter what color you are, where you from, how much education you have. It just doesn't make any difference at all. You know, I was just in so much pain. I was so sick of me, so sick of, tired of doing the same thing over and over and over. So sick and tired of running up into them treatment place centers. Because I admire people who can, who have been able to come in the rooms and not go to treatment. Not me. You got to remove me from my environment. You know, I could never do that. You know, so I just got tired. So when I left that husband and I moved to the South Potomac, I was willing. I let the job go. You know, I was willing to go. They said recovery has to come first. If you can't do this, you ain't going to keep no job. And I said, I kept a job. That's just how my thinking would go. I could always keep a job, you know. But for real, I stole on the job, you know. I was just there. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, you know. So I started going to meetings. I started plugging in. I got a network. I got a sponsor. I wasn't honest right away. It took years for me to be honest, you know. Whenever I would share, they would say stuff like, get honest, because I was scared. I was scared. I was so scared of what you would think of me, and really, I was so ashamed. My disease was so shame-based, you know. I'm the only female addict in my family, you know, and I used to go, what happened to me? Why me? I don't even ask that anymore, because I think we are the chosen ones, you know? Because I look at what happened, you know, I look at my other family members and, you know, they got stuff going on. You know, they got stuff going on. You know, and I do too. I do too. But thank God I have some place to go now. And I have someone to talk to. I don't, now I'm not, I know a whole lot of people, but I have a few people that I'm really intimate with, and I have a few people that I tell everything to. Everything. It ain't no secrets no more. Because I know for me, if I keep secrets, it's only a matter of time. My history told me that. You know, I told y'all, I proved, you know, I did the research. You know, so my history tell me if I keep secrets, I'm going to use eventually. You know, if I walk around in shame, because when I'm walking around in shame, I'm in my disease. You know, I'm going to use. Eventually, I'm going to use. I don't feel like I'm exempt. And, you know, sometimes you'll hear people go, I'll never use again. And everybody have their own thing. But my history tell me I could use again if I don't do the things I need to do to take care of myself. You know, so I have a few people I tell everything to. The things that's most embarrassing to me, when I keep doing the same thing over and over and over, and I'm sick of me, you know, I still tell them, you know. And sometimes you'll meet people and they'll be like, look, don't bring that to me. You need to do something different. And that's fine, you know. And then you might have, for me anyway, I have some people in my network where they say, talk about it. Come on, you know, just give it to me. Because I need that. You know, I need to be able to talk until I can do something different. I need to, and I'm doing it now. I've been doing it for a while, but I'm getting even better at it because, once again, I'm at a point in my life where I'm sick of me. You know, it's like I'm wanting to do something different. And the only way I know I can do something different is to take it to God, you know. This is, I don't know how much time I have, but I feel like I need to stop. So I'm going to just kind of wrap it up in a minute here. Because where I am in my life today is trying not to go against the spirit, you know. And it's difficult. It's really, really difficult, you know. And last night at our meeting, they were talking. It was 11-step meeting. And, you know, I got some suggestions on some things to do. If you stay in prayer, if you never leave prayer, you don't have to worry about getting back to it. I think I heard that somewhere, some years ago or something, you know, but I was using, so what the hell, you know. and asking my higher power to really help me with this certain issue, you know, just really asking the desire to be moved, to be removed from me, because I wouldn't do that before. You know, with the drugs I finally did, but, you know, with other things in my life, I can do the same thing. I can use those same tools in other areas in my life. God, please remove the desire, you know. You know, stay in prayer. Something that I heard some years ago, and mostly from people with time, they used to talk about being obedient. And I couldn't relate to that. I mean, I knew what it mean, but, you know, I had to put it on the shelf. You know how they tell you when you're new, if you can't relate, put it on the shelf sometime later. They used to tell me, if you stay around, you might want to pull it off the shelf. So, you know, it's like being obedient, just, you know, just trying to do the right thing. And I don't have to beat myself up when I fall off, you know. See, and when they told me that, last night was the first time I heard it. I mean, where it really registered anyway. You're human. You're going to make mistakes. My disease said, ooh, you got one more time, you can do it. I'm telling you. That's just, you know, my thinking. My thinking just goes right there. One more time. You have fun. One more time. You know, just one more time. Just like the drug. Let me just hit it one more time. Nobody will see me. Nobody will know. But you, I always know. And my God always know, you know. So I'm just really just trying my best to do whatever God's will is for me, trying to do something different, staying plugged in the best way that I can, knowing that I need you guys. I really can't recover alone. I really can't, you know. It's something about it. They say two addicts together makes a meeting. Sometimes, you know, the way that I work sometimes is certain days I can't make a meeting. But the person I work with, she's in recovery too. And we kind of like have our own meeting and help each other, you know. And that's powerful. I mean, it's just really powerful, you know. So I think that's all I have. I'm not going to ramble on because that's it. Chris will pick up the rest. He got y'all. Thanks for letting me share.